Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Denise. This is the Dr. Denise Show. This is a Creative Mind series, and it's middle of the year, and I reached out to have Chris Gordon back. Chris, how are you?
Dr. Denise, how are you?
I'm good. I'm smiling. How's your summer going?
You know what? Summer's like it isn't like it used to be. So for me, it seems like the older I get, the less summer sort of has that magical feel to it. So I got to do something to recapture the magic, Dr. Denise.
Oh, fantastic. I've got some ideas.
Well, there we go. Well, I have an idea, and this might be kind of a surprise for you, but I'm actually taking over your show today. So I'm going to put you in the hot seat.
Ooh, wow. Okay. That sounds fun. I like the hot seat.
And so this is on my mind. With okay. All these sort of negative energy and darkness that's out there, we have everything from the January 6th tribunal to the recent spate again of school shootings and on down to Roe versus Wade being overturned and Casey being overturned. There's so much of that stuff out there. I've just heard people from coast to coast talking about, you know, how can we fight back, us spiritual warriors, us energy warriors fight back. And I struggle to quantify that. And so what I'm going to do, Dr. Denise, is put you on the hot seat with your listeners and ask you, what are the fundamentals of being a spiritual warrior, being an energy warrior?
You know, right when I hear that, I'm here with you, but then I'm also kind of looking above it, looking at planet Earth. And I think, how do we have peace? The word peace comes to mind because the word warrior, I love the idea of the fight because, you know, we're here on Earth. I feel like Earth, you know, I say it's the battleground and also it can be the playground. And I think when we're taking care of our inner world, our mindscape, mm-hmm. and we're making the decision moment to moment, I'm going to get external. You're going to put me even more on the hot seat.
But in the moment, I want you to zero in.
Yeah, the moment that we have to have inner peace and fight for our own joy and happiness in the moment of now, because the external world around us and what's happening is influencing us. So we have to, number one, figure out how do we pay attention to feeling like peace. And that means mindful ingestion of everything around us. And then if there's things we have to ask ourselves, Chris, what can I control and what can I not control?
Yeah.
So if you want to throw, like, for instance, Roe versus Wade, right? Wow. Like for me, that whole overturn for me personally, it was like, I was numbed. I was like shocked. And it made me think about all the other fights in the universe with race, with gender, with sexuality, with the war in Russia and Ukraine. It made me think about that initial feeling of learned helplessness.
Yeah.
And this is an example of when we say dark energy versus light. I even have a hard time with that. You and I get super nerdy sometimes.
Yeah.
But energy that's not serving to me possibly the greater good. And that's all about perception. So how I dealt with the Roe versus Wade is I actually that day already had a fun plan that I was supposed to do. One of my dearest friends was taking me out for my birthday. So instead of stopping my individual joy, of course, I felt incredibly saddened and everything that was going on, but I made the choice to still have joy, to be with my dear friend. I made the choice to still make a nice home environment that day for my son. I made the choice to ask myself, what can I do? How can I vote? How can I help? How can I influence? So it immediately takes you in that moment of feeling in crisis.
Yes.
Maybe that learned helplessness. What can I do for my own inner peace and then also for the people around me? And then how can I serve my community?
What does someone physically do? What is the act of finding their inner peace? What is that action?
Well, I think everyone has to honor their own inner, like I always talk about neurostyle. I like to geek out that we all process and perceive things in our own unique way. And I mean, I can also throw this back. For me, what does peace and what action? It has to do, you know, we're in the human body. We talk about energy, but we're all integrated, hopefully. And we have to make sure we're feeding ourselves well. We have to feel very much in a state of gratitude if we have food, shelter, and clothing. And if we are feeling emotions, which are very much a part of the earth experience, feeling sad, feeling fearful, feeling upset, feeling betrayed, feeling wronged, you're allowed to let yourself in that moment have the feeling and remember it's energy. And if you get to this point, you can look at it and then decide where you want to put the energy. So that's going from that crisis state to like an intermediate stabilization. And then you can put that energy, you can put that energy into like a great swim, a great run. You can call up people and tell them, I'm grateful you're in my life, or what can we do to vote differently? So you can use the energy of your upset to have the momentum of change.
So what you're saying is to translate the energy into an action. I'll tell you what I felt immediately was this swath of hypocrisy, because on the left of the column that they had the decision was a sort of a poster of someone that was saying, we will adopt your kids, please have them. And I thought, how hypocritical is that when you are telling women that you're going to guarantee that these children are born, but then you're telling us that you're not going to guarantee that they're clothed, you're not going to guarantee that they're fed, you're not going to guarantee they get a good education, you're not going to guarantee they have health care or a roof over their head. So what you're really asking is to guarantee birth, not life. So you're not really a pro-lifer, you're a pro-birther. And that gave me such consternation and feelings of, I felt betrayed. How do I channel that into an action? Because that's not really an emotion, right? Betrayal is not an emotion.
Yes. Well, when I think about a specific example of how wrong the Roe versus Wade is, I think of, not only am I a mother, I'm a mother of a son. I also have an older stepdaughter. I know you're a father of a daughter, but I'm also, a doctor that's had girls that have come to me that were raped at a very young age. Earlier on in my practice, I've had times where girls were literally like sharing, this is way like probably 15 years ago. And it was an 11-year-old girl. And I know that we've already, if you look at the United States and you've looked at, I know there was the 10-year-old, I don't know her name, but there was a 10-year-old that had been violated. And there's also Debbie Reynolds way back when, way back in the day, there's an incredible thing that Katie Couric had. I have it on my Instagram feed of Debbie Reynolds talking about how she had to carry, they were making her carry a baby back in the day that passed away inside her. They weren't even doing anything to get the baby out. So there's just all different medical choices and everything. And so I feel like, I want to let you ask me a question, but I feel like, how do you turn this like hopelessness and learned helplessness or despair or futility, or you've got to be kidding me, into letting yourself have the feeling, but then doing something about it. And also I want to say something, Chris.
Yeah.
Doing something about it in your own divine time. It's okay to pause. It's okay to be upset. It's okay to unplug. You don't have to go full throttle action. You can let yourself have your feelings and your unique plan in your time. That's the part where we have that sense of peace, because so much is out of our control. And I think being a spiritual warrior is coming from a place of awareness, then self-love. And then if we're blessed enough, I think a lot of people who consider themselves philanthropists or making change in the world, a lot of people make the mistake. And I know I've done this. I'm guilty of this, everyone. I have put the oxygen mask on others before I put it on myself. And I think that seems okay, but it's really not. So I think the other new kind of self-care is the new cool, is that really deep awareness and really deep self-love. Yeah. And then when your bucket's full, having the energy to be of higher service to your family and others.
Well, Dr. Neese, that's outstanding advice, one. And then just, I love the way you think and formulate stuff. I know we're out of time here, but I wanted to just maybe jump into something for the next time we get the chance to speak. How do you keep from compounding these sort of dual things that happen? Because right on the back of the Roe versus Wade decision was another spate of school shootings. And so I wanted to talk to you, I wanted you to talk to us about how we keep that from compounding and in so many ways crushing us emotionally. Did we save it for next time?
I have a really nice soundbite on that, but I'm also just taking a deep breath because we can, you know, have another whole topic. But I think what's really important is if we're fortunate to have food, shelter, and clothing, we have to take moments and we really need to acknowledge. You can send in that moment of time when there's death anywhere. The way I understand the universe is that energy always exists. So in that moment, let's say you thought it was a great day and somehow your news feed just popped up and you saw another thing and you're like, oh my goodness, I just can't handle anymore. I always like to pause and put my hand on my heart and I like to send love to the situation, love to the story. I think about the souls and I send them immediate love. And then I try to then ask myself, do I need to keep going through my feed? Do I need to, you know, do I have enough of my, what I call mindful ingestion of the news that day? And then I take a deep breath, like I'm doing right now. And then I go, what can I control? And then I have my home decorated the way I want and my son feeding him nicely. I take care of my patients. I create my own inner peace in my home. And I have to say, I can only take so much of the external.
And so, Dr. Denise, does that work for every neuro style or is that unique to your neuro style?
That's like a whole nother. I think everyone has to honor the way they process and perceive things. The answer is it's not a one size fits all. It's kind of, but there are a couple things. So number one, you know, when we're kids and you hear stop, drop and roll when you catch on fire. Okay. So my advice would be, yes, this is, but you got to know your own neurostyle. So the answer is let's give a framework. You get the data, you have an awareness, then you have to make the choice. Is it yes, keep reading, or a no, I need to stop?
Yeah.
So different neurostyles have the propensity to take on and ingest more trauma. If someone has a style where they're actually feeling the feelings of those who passed away in real time, then it's going to feel as though they're at the scene. And everyone has a different sensory perception. Now, some people, if you're in the crime background or, you know, for myself as a doctor, you know, I can have 8 patients in the day and have 2 people that had wanted to kill themselves. And, you know, I've been doing this for years. So I can go in and out of swooping in, swooping out. So it's going to depend on your age, your perception. So the answer is it's not the same decision-making process. You have to know your own awareness and neuro style, but you should have a framework. So you go into the event more aware, even when we're doing a show or anything, you know, you and I did a pause. We had a little fun before we hit recording. We had some glitches, but then we said, let's go. So a lot of times we just can open up our phone or take a call from someone and we're not prepared. And that's when we get frenetic and that's when things compound. And that's when we do not have our own version of inner peace.
You spoke about the propensity that you have. I know a lot of us out here share this, that we're healers and we're doers, to put the oxygen mask on others first before putting it on ourselves. When we're confronted with these multiple things, how do we keep ourselves from doing that? Because my mind immediately goes to, let me make sure everyone around me is okay.
Well, I have to tell you, you know, I do the same. But I've done it to the point, it depends on the situation, Chris. It depends on, in that moment of time, how healthy are you? You know, when we're managing, when you're a father or I'm a mother in a family unit, I think when you're a parent, you sort of lead the way and you're only as happy as your happiest kid. So it's a real fine line between putting, it's really a fine line, you know, like let's say I'm so sad that day. How can I give to my child? I can say, mom's not feeling as well. So I think it's mostly that part of your own self-love can be that you make the decision that you're going to prioritize your children, but that's your choice then. That is giving yourself self-love. I don't know if I'm making sense. Not to the point where you harm yourself, where you wouldn't go to the doctor or you wouldn't say no to something dangerous, but you can make a choice of how you want to prioritize things. So to me, it's just more being aware that you're doing it and making a conscious choice.
And so what to you is the act of when something is so enormous that it encompasses, let's say, half of the country, as we have with this January 6th tribunal here, half of the country is feeling a certain way and the other half is feeling another way. How do we send love to that other half that maybe doesn't think like us?
Well, I have to tell you that I'm going to use a strong word and I don't like to use it very easily, but let's just take it away from the January 6th event. So one way of doing it for all of us is we have an event and we're allowed to have our feelings, but if we travel above it and ask the difference between a perception of hate versus non-hate or violence versus non-violence, to me, the way to self-soothe is to, this is the way I process it, and not everyone's at this spiritual place in their own journey of compassion. You know, I had someone tell me, I don't like this group of people. I'm not going to say what group of people it is. And I thought, oh my goodness, really? You can actually say, I don't like, and it was right. Very, very targeted. It was like almost like a very hateful comment.
It perpetuates versus them.
Yes. And so I thought to myself, well, number one, I don't want to work with them, but on the same stage, but number two, I had compassion for that person maybe being in a place of not being able to accept another belief system. Right. So to me, when you're talking back to the January 6th and violence versus nonviolence, division and hatred, anyone, no matter what, I don't even want to make this political. Anytime someone's functioning at a place of violence or strong dislike or hatred, usually they're not in a place of self-love. Usually they've been wronged. And we are on Earth. It's a very primitive, animalistic place. So there are times, you know, if someone, you know, hurt my son, it's going to be a primal, normal feeling to kind of want to have that real innate physiological response.
Does the other person on the other end have to be in a place to receive love for you to give it? Or is it just from you outward, whether it's received or not?
Oh, I love that question. I think it's whether it's received or not, because we are the masters of our own universe and our own mind and heart and soul. If we remember that, remember how powerful we each are. And so at any moment in time, I've actually given someone an assignment. I'll give a specific example. Someone was ready to go see their child, and their child's in college, and their college kid's like kind of feeling a bit distraught and also kind of rebellious towards the family. And the mom was, I was giving her a pep talk before she went so that she wouldn't put the energy of her stress, and then that would then increase stress of the child and make the whole dinner awful. So my assignment to her was write a prayer or write an intention or a letter, whatever word choice you like, to your daughter before you go to the event, and act as if you've already done all the parenting and given all the love. So this can be in any situation. You can put your hand on your heart and give love, or you can imagine, like I did when someone said, I don't like this group of people. I thought, oh my gosh, what happened to you? What's going on? And then I also didn't just look at it from the earth perspective of this lifetime. I said, it could be ancestral trauma or something, that there's so much hatred, or they've been wronged, or maybe they were abused by this particular background. You know what I'm saying? So I tried to go into it with compassion. And then each
person you have in there.
What did you say?
I love how you nurture your son in that way. You don't dictate or talk at him or teach. You just go in with nurturing. Hey, Dr. Denise, we're at our second break. Man, it's always so much fun and so enlightening to be with you and to talk with you. Third act.
Hold on.
And so we were talking earlier about vetting. Could you just unpack that a little bit for me?
Oh my goodness. Okay, so everyone, we're in July, and a lot of us are doing, I'm doing my mid-year review, and part of it was reaching out to people. And well, first of all, asking myself, what are my goals for my family, my business, my influence? And I want to work with people and surround myself with people that have heart energy, so they're leading with love and service. and they want a win-win. So my vetting of any situation right now is listening to people, how they talk, how they act, and do their words, thoughts, and actions match up in asks that I have them do or they have me do. And then also you pay attention to what people say. So vetting for all of us, mm-hmm. whether you're a teacher, a child, a teenager, a CEO, vetting is making the decision of what's the next step. And I like to lead, we use the word spiritual, but I just want to say from a humanitarian or human to human win-win perspective.
Huh. I like that. I like how that sounds because it is still connected in every single way. And that's the part, Dr. Denise, that always brings me back to you. You find a way to connect me to the things that I'm thinking, things that I'm feeling, the things I want to say, and how I want to have an impact. So I thank you very much for your eloquence and the way you deliver. Thank you.
Thank you for the takeover. I am going to put you in the hot seat next time. Are you ready?
Let me try my big ending here. Thank you for listening to the Dr. Denise Show. You have enlightened our day, and we welcome you to join us anytime. You can search for us on Zencastr if you want, or you can look us up at drdeniseshow.com. You can also vote for Dr. Denise as the best female podcaster at the podcastawards.com. Again, podcastawards.com. Thank you for coming to our planet and listening to us for just a little while.
Thanks, Chris Gordon. Okay. Thank you, guys. Okay. Thank you, everyone. Sending love.